This week, we go inside the Perth Wildcats Championship celebrations and chat to Damian Martin, Trevor Gleeson, and Nathan Jawai. Welcome, everybody. I'm Liam Santamaria.
And I'm Tommy Greer.
And as always, we've got our man BT in the box with the drops.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
That is the best drop of the year. That
Drum
was how
horny,
Trevor
baby.
Gleeson opened the press conference post-game, Grizzle Man.
That's the greatest.
He walked into the room and delivered that. Grizz, The NBL hardball season has wrapped up.
Oof, why do we even bother? Like,
just the Wildcats.
Yep, it's the Wildcats. It's New Zealand.
Yep.
It's, you know, all that. We all get carried away throughout the season about how good everyone is.
Yep.
And,
but in
know,
reality,
this and that, and but in reality, it's Perth and New Zealand, and one of those two teams are going to win.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, how have we not caught? I should be rich by now.
I know,
like punters should be rich.
Just in the off season, just lay it down.
Yeah, just put it in all your multis, and just collect the millions.
Yeah, well, that is right, and they've taken care of business once again. Their seventh title, the most successful team in NBL history, and Grizzleman. They did it in style, in front of their packed-out home crowd there at the Jungle. They couldn't really have scripted it any better. They played all season. It was a fair grind. We're going to talk to some of the guys about that grind. Mm-hmm. But they got that home court advantage. Melbourne United were knocked out, and they were able to win it in front of, my God, that raucous Red Army.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, like you said, couldn't have scripted it any better. New Zealand knocking out Melbourne was massive, I think, for Perth, because I think the firepower of Melbourne, you know, if they had have got it going, would have been something to contend with. But coming up against a team who played a similar sort of style to them, but not quite as good,
I think
really helped them out.
A question without notice. You spent most of the season talking about your concerns about the Wildcats' ability to put points on the board. And in the end,
It didn't even matter. No.
52 points they kept New Zealand to in Game 3, at all-time low for a grand final game, 52. And they just, I mean, it was lockdown.
Absolutely lockdown. And I'll take that one on the chin. They took their defense to a new level, the Perth Wildcats this year. And, you know, that goes to show by that stat, the lowest grand final score in the history. I will say I was expecting it to be refed a little bit different, season.
Okay.
And I think maybe because of the two teams that ended up in the grand final, they let it become a bit more of a war.
Yes.
I was expecting more of a free-flowing sort of final series with Melbourne, and I thought that would play into Melbourne and Illawarra's hands. I was wrong.
Fair enough. Damian Martin. He was one of the primary stories to come out of the grand final series. Everybody loves him. He's a three-time champion. We're going to talk to him shortly. Woke up from a nap, finally got back to us. But Damo took out the grand final MVP. And here's a guy, Grizzleman. I mean, he only scored about, I think, 19 points for the series. But his impact, I mean, it just doesn't show up in the box score. And Trevor Gleeson speaks all the time about how he scores points at the defensive end. How happy were you to see him win the Grand Final MVP?
I was so happy to see him come away with this award, because so often it goes to the person who gets the most stats.
Yes.
And like you said, he only ended up with the 18 points, I think 23 rebounds, and 3 steals, way below his average over 3 games. Three blocks or something like that. So not massive stats. Like, you could see someone getting those stats in a game or a game and a half. So really happy to see him come away with it because of the job he did on Cedric Jackson. And he locked that man up. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Cedric needs to be applying for parole to Damian Martin's parents. Unbelievable lockup job he did. And that's what changed. That's what won the series.
Well, let's talk about it. I wrote about it. It'll be up on mbl.com.au by the time that you're listening to this. But and we're going to talk to Damo about it, and we'll try and get some specifics about from him to see if it matches up.
I want the nitty-gritty.
The nitty-gritty about how he went about shutting Cedric Jackson down. But Grizzleman, here's a two-time grand final MVP.
Yep.
Here's one of the greatest players in NBL history and a proven big stage performer. And by the end of game three, or by halfway through game three, he sort of looked a little disinterested at times. And it looked a little bit like this whole Damian Martin thing I just want it to be over.
I'm tired. There was one point late in the game where he must have got that second win, and he went to take Martin to the block and just got nowhere with it. He just got nowhere. It must be so deflating.
Yeah. And, but the way Damo went about it, you spoke to me during the game yesterday about how, and I ended up writing about it, how people often give Sed Jackson a cushion. They're worried he's going to blow by them, so they give him some extra space, dare him to shoot the three. Damo didn't play that way.
No, he didn't.
He approached 4 feet.
Exactly. Approached a different way, right up the floor, you know, caught him early, so he couldn't play any of that transition game. Which, by the way, like side note, the Wildcats did a great job of guarding Sed in transition when he did get away. Like they weren't falling for that Euro step. Mm-hmm. They really sort of sent a lot of men to him. So they did a good job of that. But I think the key to Martin was even in the half court, he got into Sed's feet. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, so often people cushion him and dare him to shoot that shot. Mm. But Damo went the other way, get right into him, forcing him over screens and really sort of making him, really pressuring him for the entire shot clock.
And it was almost like, I mean, it'd be interesting to talk to him about it and find out, was that, okay, I think this is the best way to play Sed Jackson, or was that, you know what, I'm the best defensive player in the history of this league, and the way I do that best is getting up and in and being disruptive.
Yeah.
So why change the way I go about playing? This is what I'm going to do, and it's up to him to adjust to me.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see if that's the way they went about it.
Well, it was an uncharacteristic display, regardless of how well Damien Martin played. Let's get some answers from Dean Vickerman, the coach of the New Zealand Breakers.
It's a total that you say, you know, you'd be happy to hold him to, but... You know, offensively, we were just a lot out of sync, and when Cedric, someone that we rely on a lot to create some offense for us, when you know he's not playing up to his standard and not playing, you know, and fouling out pretty early, it was a big ask for a development player, you know, to come in and lead our team and an experience that, you know, he's going to be better for as a player, and I think he's going to be a good player in the league in the future.
That's really interesting from Dean Vickerman calling Sed out about not playing up to standard. And obviously he wasn't up to Sed's high, you know, lofty standards. But a lot of that is due to Damian Martin. And something that really got at me during the game is when the commentators said about Cedric Jackson, they said he looks disinterested or he's not giving his full effort. That's a cop out to me.
Okay, cool. I said that before.
Yeah, well, cop out.
Okay.
This is a call out. Of your cop out.
Yes, let's hear it. Ground control
to Major Tom. Yeah. Because the reality is, this is game three of the grand final. If you're telling me Sed Jackson isn't trying, I mean, we've got some serious concerns there. That man is 100% trying. Yes. He wants to win. Mm-hmm. He gets paid if they win. Mm. Damian Martin just locked him up, and he did it by getting into his feet and playing him a way he hadn't been played all year. The credit's got to go to Damian Martin, not the hate to Cedric Jackson.
If I ever catch you acting like a crazy fool again, you're going to meet my friend.
Chris just telling fools how it is.
No, it's true.
But there are a couple of interesting things to bring out of that Dean Vickerman comment. And obviously we're going to talk about Shea Elliott in a little bit because he played some big minutes. And, you know, it was talked about on the broadcast quite a lot and so on and so forth. But just about Sed Jackson, he obviously fell in love with the three ball a little bit over the course of the finals.
Yep.
You know, and hey...
Can you blame the man?
No, you cannot.
He was in fuego. I saw him kick one up in warm-ups.
He was the hottest player in the league from deep for a little while there, and his three-point shooting got them back in the season and got them into the playoffs.
The reason that they're in the grand final.
Sure. But you wonder if Dean Vickerman, throughout the kind of game one and game, you know, halfway through game two, Sed's like 7, 8 three-point attempts, more three-point attempts than deuces.
Mm.
And Dean's like, geez, I would really like to tell Sed to put it away.
But I can't.
But I can't really tell Sed Jackson what to do in a grand final
series.
Here's the
thing, man.
And then the end of the game three, he's like, you know, it really would have been good if he had attacked the rim a little bit more. Is that what he's kind of thinking?
I think that's exactly what he's thinking. Yeah. But once you decide to ride that wave... Once you decide to ride that wave and they jumped on very firmly at the start of those finals, you've just got to see it out.
All right, tweet coming through from Daniel Coyne. Awful game by Sed. I think his short stint of hot shooting hurt the Breakers with their game plan in the grand final series. Were they going to him too much?
See, it's a good point. When I was playing, if I hit a perimeter shot in the first quarter, it was the worst thing that ever happened to my game.
Seriously. You'd keep jacking him up. In fact, we used to, when we were playing against you, that was our that was actually our strategy.
Let's try and get him.
We were like, open. Even throw it to him when he's open. Like, see if he can knock one.
No, kick, but
you know, helicopter one of those boys in there.
Did that kind of happen with Sir Jackson and the New Zealand Breakers a little bit?
Potentially a little bit. And the commentators did hit the nail on the head with this one. I mean, the percentages always come back to
you
level.
Regress to the mean.
They always regress
to
the mean.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm. And I think that's what we saw.
Thomas Abercrombie.
Oh, man, this guy.
21 points in game three. He was excellent in game two. Mm. A little bit of an unsung hero from the grand final series now that they lost.
I really think so. I mean, he came up big in both games one and two. I mean, he was battling hard in game three, but couldn't manage to spark the rest of the boys into the game. But I was so impressed with him and his athleticism. I mean, that's a given. He's had that his whole life, but he seems to be using it more on defense now. Mm-hmm. And the way he slides his feet and he can contest shots with anyone in the league, he's such a tough cover if you put him on a two-man or someone like that with his extra length.
Or on Casey Prather.
That's right.
All series
such
long.
An advantage.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And he also played a few minutes on Jermaine Beal from time to time. But speaking of getting a job done defensively, Jermaine Beal's job on Corey Webster throughout the series. Perhaps a little unnoticed at times, people kind of looking like, what's going on with Corey Webster? Why can't he get himself going? Well, there's a little bit of resistance there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's another one of those situations where everyone's giving hate to Sid Jackson and Corey Webster, you know, about their effort and stuff like this. But the credit truly needs to be given to the Perth Wildcats and their players, Damian Martin and Jermaine Beal, for the job they did defensively.
It's something that Melbourne United head coach Dean Demopoulos would often say throughout the season after games when he'd be asked, you know, what about this player and what about that player? And he'd say, you know, you got to realize there's two teams out there.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you're trying
it's
to achieve, you're
drill.
Meeting resistance from the coaching staff and the players at the other end. You've got to always keep that in your into consideration. Now, speaking of meeting some resistance, reserve point guard Shea Yili met a little resistance on the floor. Yes, they had a tough time of things. Now, here's a guy who it went a little unnoticed and underrated, but he was the guy guarding Jermaine Beal in big moment at the end of game two when Beal had the shot basically to, I don't know, where was it, to tie, to win?
Yep, and he...
And he forced him into the turnover.
Yep, that's right.
He was right there, and he didn't really get any love for that, but he certainly got a bit of heat for his performance yesterday, thrown to the Wolves with Sid Jackson fouling out and having some foul trouble and some struggles of his own.
Yeah, look, this is a tough one. You don't want to go at the kid too hard, but he was definitely out of his depth on this one, getting thrown into game three of the grand final series to replace Cedric Jackson. Mm-hmm. You're down. You're expected to, you know, step in and try and bring your team back. I mean, that was never going to happen, and he really suffered. We saw how much Sed struggled coming up against the might of Damian Martin. I can only imagine what that must have been like for young Shea Yili.
And we also saw last season how important that backup point guard role was for the Breakers in the grand final series when Reece Carter came in and went berserk in the third quarter in game one in Cairns. That could have been Shane McDonald. Things just didn't really work out with that signing over the course of the season. That's who they expected that to be.
Yeah, that was it's a really interesting one. I'm not sure what happened there, but Shane sort of,
fell out of favour.
Fell out of favour reasonably early in the season. And, you know, once I guess New Zealand have a lot of faith in Shea Yili. He's an incredible athlete, that kid, and he's got a fair bit of range on him as well. So I think maybe they're just trying to blood him a little bit like they like to do in New Zealand. You know, get some court time into him ahead of next year.
All right, these two teams, New Zealand and Perth, you joked about it earlier, but a couple of things. Firstly, people say defense wins championships. Yep. These are the two teams that are built around their defense. People also talk about the importance of continuity within your roster, and these are the two teams who are the picture of that
stability
in the league. Can we lock it in?
Is this a blueprint?
Do you know what I mean? Well, it's clearly...
exactly.
We say it's clearly a blueprint, but Illawarra's not following that blueprint. No. Melbourne United's not following that blueprint.
Haven't been.
Should they be?
I mean, it's hard to argue against that, isn't it? And I think that, you know, at this point, you're going to begin to see a number of teams start to follow it because it's now, it's damning the evidence. And I think that a lot of teams around the league will now start buying in.
All right, well, let's talk to some people who know all about that blueprint. Trevor Gleeson and Nate Jauai. We're going to start with the skipper. Five-time best defensive player, three-time champion, and 2016 Ooh. Grand Final MVP. And Damo, first and foremost, mate, congratulations.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're talking about the fact you're going to be a bloody dad. On the couch last night after announcing the pregnancy?
Oh, as I could hear the words coming out of my mouth, I could just picture my wife and what she must have been thinking at that time. But I just got caught up in the excitement of hearing I was going to be a dad a few weeks ago and then winning the championship. And the two just came head-to-head live on TV. And, not the way we thought we'd break the news, but it's out there now and I'm excited to be a dad. But, yeah, oh,
that's awesome.
Quite surprised that I decided to take stage and announce it then and there.
When do we have a date? What's can you point us in a direction?
Yeah, say September 3rd.
Okay.
We'll have our first child, so we're very excited. So now that the season's over, we can this time of year, you're pretty selfish as a player, thinking that life revolves around everything in between those white lines.
And yep.
Our partners are amazing, so now that that's all done and dusted, I can turn my attention to trying to make it up to Brittany and our little bub.
Are you going to find out as a future boomer, Opal?
No, we're going to keep it a surprise.
Okay.
We're excited to, wishing for a healthy baby. Yes. I'm a little different. I keep telling everyone I want it to be a boy, but to be honest, I just want to make sure it's healthy and excited to see what, if we do have a little boomer or Opal on our hands.
The entire Red Army and all of your teammates chanting MVP at you in unison. How did that feel?
Yeah, it really was special. The fact that we were actually up by quite a margin when I subbed out late in the fourth quarter, I got to truly appreciate the crowd and just looking up and seeing so many people standing on their feet, just loving the environment. And it's one of the more special moments of the game and something I'll never forget.
Well, Damo, I was actually at home on my couch chanting MVP as well. So if you can add that to it, I was like, MVP, Damo, you did it.
Well, the Doritos were flying out of your mouth. Damo, you match up with Sed Jackson. We talked in advance about it being the key to the series here on this show. We know you've got the utmost respect for Sed. You've said that time and time again, but talk us through the specifics of your approach to playing him this series.
Oh, you've got to try and pick your poison with Sed. He came into the series shooting the ball really well in the past six or seven games from the three-point line. But he's one of those guys that if you guard too closely, he can blow by you. And he's really good at facilitating his bigs or finishing at the ring. But we decided that we'd still challenge his shot. And even if he was to make one or two, that was just how we're going to, the game plan was with him. And then we really wanted to pressure Webster so that at any given time, Sed might be slightly open, but Webster was always going to be pressured with the hope that over the grind of 3 days, that if we can pressure Jackson in the backcourt, sag off a little bit in the frontcourt, and then just pressure Webster nonstop, that hopefully it'd pay a dividend if it went to a game three. And the guys looked slightly tired last night, and I think the game plan paid off.
So, Damo, something both Liam and I noticed during this three-game series was the approach to get into Sed Jackson's feet. I mean, you said contest the three, but it looked like you were guarding him pretty much 94 feet, and then in the half court, you weren't sort of sagging off all the time. You were getting into his feet a fair bit. So you noticed you pushing him over screens. Was that the strategy?
Yeah, it was, again, the fatigue factor. We know that he plays such big minutes and he has the basketball in his hands, for a lot of the game. And that's why he gets so close to a triple-double, pretty much every game, because he's just such a good facilitator and a scorer. So, at times we're going to go over when the step-up screen was pretty high and challenge him if he wanted to shoot a deep three. Other times we wanted to just really pressure him, and every time he had the ball, we wanted to try and make it uncomfortable with him, whether it was, Jesse Wagstaff helping out, Matty Knight helping out, because he is such a talented player that it usually takes two guys to get the job done on him. And, it's one of those games that, in his 4 years in the NBL, he's rarely had, off nights, and it just happened to happen on the deciding game of a grand final. But he's a champion player. Won three championships already. So it's just one of those nights for him, but he'll bounce back bigger and better than ever next season.
Hey, something else, Grizz, and I noticed during the games was that the first possession of, often it was the first quarter and also the third quarter, you'd guard Webster and then you'd switch back to guarding Jackson. What was the idea behind that?
Yeah, the game plan was for me to guard Webster as much as possible, But just with the cross matches, because I like picking up full court, you know, a shot would go up, so I'm in trying to crash the rebound. And then it's just, you know, pick up the nearest guy. So obviously with Cedric in their rebound, also I was usually next to him. But then if the ball was to go out of bounds in the front court, then I'd switch back onto Webster, because obviously they'd usually run some pin downs or some staggers to him. But
right.
It was just a lot of cross matches according to just the rebounding. But ideally, I wanted to spend as much time on Webster as possible. And then when we wanted to pick up full court and press, I'd go back to getting after Jackson.
And do you and Jermaine have that kind of like communication, that non-verbal, that eye contact? You can do that on the fly now?
Yeah, it's been great. And Casey played there as well. You know, an underrated defensive player, and you know, I thought in the third quarter when we really made a run, in about a, you know, from the 6 minute mark to the 4 minute mark, you know, we got it out to 20 points, and Casey was fantastic in our little 1-2-2 press, and he's just so athletic and agile that we were able to create some turnovers, and you know, he was in the same boat. If we want to run and jump at Daxton, I knew that Casey or Jermaine would be behind me and support it.
Damo, we'll stop asking you about Cedric in a minute now, but it really was, the job you did on him really was the key to winning this series. Mm. How did you strike the balance between getting on the offensive glass and limiting Jackson's effectiveness in the open court?
We had to make sure that if we wanted to put... We had such an emphasis on winning the possession game, and obviously that's a combination of winning the rebound count and then trying to force them into more turnovers than what we would have. So we wanted to get on the glass, but with how quick he is at getting out of the backcourt and on the ring, we had to just back ourselves to make sure there's always going to be at least one deep safety, and then we'd have to sprint if we weren't in the rebound contest to make sure we'd clog up the keyway first and foremost.
And your plan and was to have Dollar always in that safety spot.
he was very good at it.
He's very good at it because you've made him do it all year
while I was racking up offensive rebounds.
No, I do like to pick up full court, so if he sees me running in, he just natural habit to go back now. And it worked out well. You know, he's such a good player, Jackson, in the open court, and too hard to guard one-on-one when he's at a head of steam. So we managed to slow him down at times, because in game two, I think he had 6 layups, and we didn't send him to the free throw line once. And in grand final basketball, you can't have guys getting 6 layups uncontested. So we just wanted to make an effort that if someone was going to get an open look, that we'd make sure we did a better job at making it harder for them.
Damo, while we're on the congratulations have been named in the Boomers 26-man squad for Rio. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Andre gave me a little heads up that I'd been the squad of 26, and then to read the other names, obviously it's always nice to be in a same pack of, you know, names like Dante X and Della Vadova, Patty Mills, Bogut, just to name a few. And it was great that even the NBA guys, you know, they sent messages congratulating me, and it's great that they're over in America playing in the best league in the world and still take time out to, you know, to send a message or two, which is fantastic.
Has Nick Marvin put a 3-year deal in front of you? 4 years? 5 years?
I wish. I think I've got 1 year left on this current contract. And we'll go from there. But it's going to be an interesting few weeks, that's for sure. With Brisbane Bullets coming into the league next season, with some of the guys bound to get offered more money to move interstate, you know, one of the reasons we've had success is guys have been willing to play for less to try and win a championship, and it has worked. But you know, it'll be interesting to see. I'd love to be able to play alongside the same group of guys next season, but as happens every year, you rarely get to have the same squad of 10.
Well, mate, thanks so much for taking a little bit of time.
I think it's the first time you've ever had a podcast with subtitles. I'm not sure how it's going to work.
I don't know how that's going to work. Hey, congratulations, mate. You're a legend, and we're just so proud of you and happy for you, mate.
No, thanks, guys. A great job this year. I've always enjoyed listening into the podcast, and have a great off season, and see you next year.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you, Damo.
Cheers, guys.
All right, Trev, how does this intro sound? 2-time championship winning coach, Mr. Trevor Gleeson. Mate, thanks so much for jumping on for a chat.
Yeah, baby.
G'day, guys. How are
That's
you?
What I'm talking about.
I've got to say, that was the best beginning of a press conference.
That was awesome.
All season, maybe in the history of the NBL.
Yep.
Mate, if you're not excited now, but for what we've gone through this year, it's, you know, it's joy, it's relief, it's... happiness, it's all rolled into one. It was, you know, it was a good day for us yesterday.
I bet it was.
The best part of winning is just seeing the expression and the joy of the players, the coaching staff, support staff, and all the fans. It's it's just one of those feelings that you don't get that often, and it's to sit back and just bask in that for a little bit is something to cherish.
Congrats, Trev. Outstanding result. You guys had such a topsy-turvy season. The Townsville losses, the struggles on that long road trip, some form coming into the finals that I'm sure worried you a little bit. How much of a grind was this season?
Yeah, look, the injuries of Damo's broken jaw, sure. His calf was out the start of the year, and then we bring Nate Jaiwara in late, Jared Kenny, and, Casey took some time to adjust to the Australian style of game. So it was all constant. But one thing that I love was our determination within the group. And the guys actually, I've said it before, the chemistry was great, but they actually genuinely like each other. So when things are going wrong, they're talking open and honest with them. It's not, trying to protect someone's feelings. They're saying what needs to be done. And that part was you grow throughout the season and you grow as a team. And I was very fortunate that we grew into a tough, minded, one focus team towards the end. We got some late injuries.
Mm-hmm.
We had, we did have to rest some guys. They just couldn't go through the schedule, and we knew what the playoff schedule was like. So we had to sacrifice to get a top two position, and, it worked out well for us.
Yeah, tell us about the injuries that you did carry into the grand final series that maybe you couldn't say publicly. Were there some players that, if it was a regular season game, wouldn't have played perhaps?
Yeah, probably Damo, his ankle, his shoulder, his jaw, his... Nate, obviously, wow. With his back and the travel, we finished up playing 4 games in 7 days. It was game 3 against the Hawks on the Sunday, then Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. And that's one of the toughest schedules I've ever been involved with just in the NBL. And the guys to come through that, put all that aside and just lock on to what we need to do. That's so much pride that we have as a coaching staff in the group to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish.
You mentioned Nate Jaiwara and that schedule. Was there ever a moment of consideration of him not going to New Zealand for Game 2?
Yeah, look, we tossed it around and we went straight to the medical staff and they said, look, you're probably not going to get that much of a difference if we treat him right. He missed the last regular season game, came into the playoffs, had a good game against Wollongong, probably a shocker in Game 2 that he'd be the first to put his hand up. And then come back in game 3 and game 1. He was an intimidating factor inside. And he really stepped up to the plate when the heat of the battle was the fiercest. So the medical staff have done a magnificent job of getting him up and going and getting his mind right. And, that's a long way for us to win the championship because of those guys.
Was the Jaiwara signing an absolute no-brainer for you guys last off-season?
Yeah, well, Nate, I was with Nate with the Boomers, so, and he said, hey, listen, I'm thinking about coming back. And it was, Hugh Greenwood just left, so there was some cap room in there to get with Nate. So, we're very happy with him. He wanted to get back here to get in shape so he gives his best chance for the Olympics, play quality minutes and not be playing 5-6 minutes in Europe. And, they don't treat you the best as well, so... He made that move, and talking to him yesterday, he said it's the best move he's ever made to come to Perth. So we're happy, and he certainly delivered when the time came.
Is that kind of what you envisaged the whole way? It was obviously quite a management plan for him throughout the year and then in those last few weeks, and that kind of what he delivered in especially game one of the grand final series. At the end of that game, were you like, yep, this is exactly what we planned for?
Yeah, and it's exactly right. It took, there's so much attention that Nate got throughout the year, then the back really did hinder him. He was moving along straight in that, up line and improvement, and that just stopped his progress for a little bit. And then putting the questions in his mind of, am I going to get there? If I'm not, what can I, I'm letting the team down. And, he fought through all that and to play the game that he did to, that first game, the heat was really, really hot. New Zealand wanted to win that game so they can go home and win it in game 2. And we knew that we had to have an inside presence, and our big guys were fabulous. Not only Nate, but all our big guys did a great job in that game 1.
We just spoke to Damien Martin. In terms of all the players you've coached over the journey, in what categories does he rank number 1? I'm guessing toughness is one of them.
Well, besides Tommy?
Yeah, of course, mate. That goes without saying.
Besides Tommy.
Look, to be honest, it's you. As a coach, you love a guy that can implement what you want into the game. And Damo plays with the heart and soul and the toughness, and he's an inspiration to his teammates. And his teammates think, well, if Damo's getting hit on every screen, getting after every loose ball, and taking his knees, popping his shoulder to fight for loose balls, I've got to join that party. And he was leadership by example, and he just plays every possession. He takes personal pride if someone scores on him. I think Webster hit a three on Tommy in the first quarter. Webster had a layup that Damo blocked. It got countered, so that was 5 points, and then he hit a long two on Damo. So he held him scoreless for the next three quarters, and we, you know, chopped and changed around him with Jackson as well. So he can put points on the defensive end, and he can change your games defensively, and that's the... Besides Tommy, he's the only guy I think to be able to do that.
Trev, you're talking about Damo and being an inspiration, and earlier you mentioned when he had his face rearranged earlier in the season. With all that in mind, when that happened, you know, looking back, the way you responded in that press conference, you copped a little bit of flack for it, but was there an element for you of, you know what, this is the heart and soul of our team, and every one of our team needs to see me go right into bat for this guy?
Oh, without question. Without question. I came into that change room. He was holding his jaw in his hand. I actually told all the players to get out of the locker room so he can have some privacy. It was a horrendous, horrendous scene that happened. And probably to gear it up, just as I was going in the press conference, Towns were all out stretching, and Cronklin was right there before it. And I said, keep your elbows to yourself to Cronklin. And Cronklin came back and said, well, you tell him to keep his hands out or I'll hit him again.
Oh, man.
I didn't think that was very good, so I unloaded on that. But, look, I'll stand up for any of the players that I've been fortunate to coach. I'll certainly go on the bat to them. If I look like a goose, I'm quite fine to do that. And he's our leader, and that was not a good play to do. So, you know, and how tough is he to come back
incredible
after that period of time?
Yeah,
you know,
and play the same way.
Oh, and play. He had the jaw. Yeah. He had to go off against New Zealand.
Yes.
He chipped the tooth in the fourth quarter, couldn't play. He wanted to come back on.
He was picking things out of his mouth guard.
Incredible.
Right,
incredible.
Yeah.
Trev, you've spoke about heart and soul. I mean, the heart and soul of this Perth club has to be Nick Marvin and Jack Bendit. How much do you enjoy working for these guys?
Mate, this is a quality organisation. You don't really know until you're here. And just the support... You know, they're not micromanagers. They give you enough room to make the decisions. And if you want something, you've got to back it and justify it. And by all means, they'll go out of their way to support you as much as possible. This is hands down the best club that I've worked with, and their professionalism and the willingness to get the best solution instead of... I've been organisations that guys want to win. They know they don't support you. They work in different channels behind your back. Or, you know, this club's got one focus. That's to improve every day and make a difference in the community and make sure that we're playing the right way. And that transcends all the way from Jack all the way through to onto the court.
Mm. Trev, let's talk a little bit of X's and O's for a second. One of the best parts about a playoff series that goes the distance is the adjustments that take place, the chess game. What were one or two of those key chess moves that took place in this series that perhaps most people watching on might not have noticed?
Yeah, they really, game one was, we knew that was going to be a physical challenge. So we were going to do everything we possibly can to wear them down, you know, and we wanted Jackson to be dribbling the ball down the court, and he's getting turned twice in the backcourt straight away. Every single play, every time he comes through the paint, someone's getting the body on him. Going through a screen, we're just kind of wearing down.
Mm-hmm.
And look, and there was a minute 20 left. Damo was in his grill in the backcourt. We got that 8-second violation. Scores were level. We're two up. Then Damo got the next possession and took him to the rack. So to put it out to 4 or 5 points. And those things that we want to wear down. They went to a little bit of zone.
Yep.
We didn't do a good job of in that game one. So, there's some adjustments all the way. You've got to keep especially New Zealand team, they were so good when they get in rhythm. And part of our plan was to keep them disruptive, keep them out of rhythm, changing things up by the trapping screens, zone it up, give them different looks all the time so they weren't comfortable.
Was that strategy on Sed Jackson, you know, playing him 94 feet, you know, getting into his feet in the half court, something that you guys looked to do all season, or something that you sort of kept holstered for the playoffs?
Yeah, no, we did it early in the year. We didn't have Damo. We didn't have the manpower, and Cedric just cut us to pieces. So you got to have, you know, you got to have Damo and Jared Kenny, the same thing. Then we had Corbin Rowe at home. We used throughout the regular season just to have that rotation all the time, so you're getting fresh legs. And we felt that that was something that over, you know, three games in those 5 days, that fatigue is going to be an issue. And if we could do anything that could help us 1%, we were going to try and do it.
Do you have a quiet word with Dollar between games 2 and 3? Obviously, you had those 3 shots in that one possession, wasn't able to knock down, and then that final play. And then you really needed him to show up in game 3. Did you have a quiet word, or did you just knew he would do that?
Yeah, look, with Jermaine, as long as he stays aggressive, you know, come playoff times, he's super aggressive, sometimes too much, but I'd rather wind it back. We knew that we wanted the guards to get out there and go after him. And Jermaine, you know, having that experience of the finals MVP 2 years ago, to really come on and be aggressive. Same as Casey. Casey got the ball that first time and took it straight to the rack. And that's the mindset that we wanted. We had to go out there and go and get this game. It wasn't going to come to us. And you know, I was happy both of the guys did a great job in game 3.
You obviously, it might be a bit of a difficult question to answer. You're part of the process, but were you surprised at all Matty Knight didn't end up getting that Boomers call up today? Obviously,
yeah,
you weren't surprised.
Had a fantastic year. He's, to be honest, he's most likely going to go in for surgery in the shoulder.
Okay.
So I had probably inside information on that, but look, he's been battling. It's the most games he's played. He played 27 games this year in the regular season. He only missed one. That's the first time he's played over 20, I think. And he's got his body right, and, mate, he was fantastic for us. And, you know, Nate was taking one or two defenders on him on the box out, and Matt would out-muscle people and get on the glass. I asked him before the game if he can give me 10 rebounds. He got me 11, so, you know, he's a warrior.
Matty Nielsen and your coaching staff, you let some of those guys coach games for you during the preseason. Are there future head coaches in that group?
Yeah, Matty will be a head coach without question. He just needs to season up and, you know, to get that experience. And, you know, I've done that a couple of times with put the assistant coaches in charge of pre-season just to get that exposure. And sometimes I coach and get right on the line, you know, push the referees to the limit till they tell me to, Trevor, you act like a goose, sit down. and sometimes I do get, you know, told to go and have a look at the seat in the locker room. So that was
so they got to be ready.
In case that happened. Just in case that happened, Matty knew what to do. So he's going to be a head coach in the future without a question.
Trev, we're going to see Dollar Bill and Casey Prather back in the NBL next year.
Look, I hope so. Dollar's out of contract and Casey only signed one. And look, I'll be surprised if Casey doesn't get a look, especially in this period from now back overseas. He's a defense. He shot the ball terrific from the three-point line. That was probably his only mock. He might be a tad undersized, but look, I won't be surprised if he gets a call up or some team brings him in for a couple of days to have a look at him in the NBA. Dollar, you know, he's had hitting those 10 threes throughout the year. He's put his name on the map internationally, and you know, to see what happens in Europe with that. But you know, we can't compete with those big money in Europe. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get most of our team back next year.
Well, you've got some things ahead of you in your own right, obviously. Your contract negotiations and then Rio and everything like that. So all the best with that, and congratulations, mate. 2-time championship winning coach. Well done.
Thanks, boys. Absolutely pleasure being with you.
Australian Boomer and now NBL champion, Nate Jawai. Mate, thanks for joining us for a chat.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Nate, look, congratulations. NBL champion, that's awesome. You told us before the season that you signed with the Wildcats because you wanted to work with Trevor, you wanted to stay healthy with their excellent medical staff, you wanted to win and put yourself in a good position for Rio. Yep. How happy are you with how that's all worked out so far?
Yeah, I'm happy. You know, it's, I regret nothing. You know, there was a couple of tough choices that I had to make that year, you know, different teams. And I think I choose the right one, although obviously I choose the right one. And traveling that has been great. You know, I have a lot of ups and downs and little niggling injuries. And now we're champs. That's all put behind. And it's time to enjoy this moment at the moment. Enjoy being a champ for probably the first time in probably a couple of years, a few years. Mm. And be back home and with the Perth Wildcats, with someone special like Damien Martin, who also made the Boomers as well, and with Trev and the medical staff putting their work in throughout the final series with my back.
So how pleased are you personally with your own play during the grand final series?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to come in there and try to perform physically, you know. I didn't expect to... I didn't hold myself to have an outstanding finals run. I knew my back was kind of hurting, but you know, I had to put that aside. It's only one chance that I get to wake up and I play for an NBL championship. You know, I don't know if I'll be back next year, but so coming into the finals, I personally just kind of be a little bit more focused than the Illawarra series. You know, I kind of was limited, obviously, with my back then. So the focus coming into this final series was just to set the tone physically, you know, and try to set the tone for my teammates and make sure that in the opposition it wasn't going to be easy final.
How much more comfortable were you, Nate, banging with the big New Zealand bodies than chasing after that kind of pace and space Illawarra system in the semis?
I mean, obviously, you got Plessy, you got Jackson, you got McConnor. It was a bit easy because they play really more physical than the from Illawarra. You know, yeah. Kind of took my game a little bit more with pressure on the court. Due to matchup, you know, they could go small and I could still probably be out there trying to go out and make up. But with Illawarra, you know, they had shooters, you know, they could go really small. So the mobility of AJ was kind of difficult for me, but I wasn't trying to get too frustrated. So coming into the matchup with this game, I knew I would get some more opportunities to play more because of the matchup. And Trevor sat down and spoke to me and told me to be ready. So I tried to get my mind focused for New Zealand.
Nate, you mentioned that you weren't sure whether you'd be back at Perth next season. You've got a few niggling injuries, the back. Yeah. Are you going to head off to Europe now that the season's over, or is there too much else going on?
I haven't spoke to my agent, you know, I haven't even given him a call. Last I spoke to him, I knew there was a few offers over back in Spain and in France and a couple of other countries, you know. I'm just going to enjoy this one for probably about a week and then I'll have a chat to him. And I want to go back there. Obviously, we don't have anything at the moment until the Boomers camp, you know. I don't want to head in there a bit rusty, I guess you could say.
You said you're going to enjoy this one for about a week.
So I'm just having a barbecue now with a couple of my family out in the balcony here. Jesse Prater just showed up, so
ooh,
nice.
I'll probably get Jesse out.
So, all things considered, would you like to go back to return to Perth next season?
It depends, you know. Throughout this season, it's kind of difficult for me, you know, with my physicality. And it took me a while to kind of adjust to myself. Even the refereeing, you know, my physicality or play, it's been rough, you know. It's a great league. The owners have done a real good job. This league kind of reminds me when the league was really organized when I played back in 2007 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice, you know, it's organized now. If I have the opportunity or if I do want to come back, I know it's always going to be there. So I'm not too sure yet, but it would be one of the options to come back again next year.
That's awesome, mate. Is Casey there right now? Can you chuck him on the phone?
Yeah, Casey's right here. Hold on a second. It's an interview. No, come on, podcast. Come on.
Hello.
Casey Prather, NBL champion. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks, man. That's amazing.
So, Casey, we've caught you off guard here a little bit, mate, but has Jack Bendit or Nick Marvin or Trev Gleeson or anyone over there at Perth managed to put a contract in front of you that got some pen to paper? Because we want some more high-flying,
yes.
Casey Prather
we
next
want
year.
Casey Prather back.
I mean, no one said anything to me about it yet, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, after the season, season over, but, you know, the next couple of days, then we'll sit down and have a talk about the future and see where we go from there.
What has your boy Nate JY got set up for you at that barbecue? What are you getting stuck into?
He got some, man, he got some chicken, some, what you got, steak? he cooking it up, man. Anything you need, he got it over here, so.
And so when are you taking off, Casey? How long can you sort of sit back and enjoy this one before heading off to, I'm sure, Europe or even maybe over to the D-League?
Yeah, I'm not really sure yet. You know, I'm just going to sit here for the function, you know, then talk to my agents and for my people back home and then just see what I have set up after that. But I plan on being here for at least until the end of March.
That atmosphere yesterday, Casey, at the end of the game, that whole crowd going bananas for you guys, how good was that?
It was unbelievable, man. The feeling and the crowd experience over there was just something I have no words for, man. The fans are so great. The Red Army is just magnificent. And, you know, it's a great feeling to win in front of those crowds.
So I guess obviously it's been a really satisfying season for you and worthwhile coming to Australia and to the NBL. What areas do you think that your game has improved this season?
You know, my three-point shot definitely has improved as the season went along. Not only my shot, but just my confidence in taking those shots. You know, guys have been on me about, you know, just taking those shots. And I feel like for the most part of the season, that's what I've done. It got better throughout the season.
Well, Casey, enjoy the barbecue. Thanks for having a quick chat. And thanks for all the highlights this year. We hope we'll see you back.
No, thanks, man.
Poor Casey Prater.
Yeah, I know. He just got roped in there at the end there, didn't he? He's like, he's coming along, a little bit of steak, a little bit of chicken.
He's thinking, who's this? Are these the caterers? Or
he brought some chips. He's like, here's the chips, here's the coke. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my shot's coming along.
Yeah, I really want to work on my three.
We thank him and Nate Jowai, Trevor Gleeson, Damian Munn, the day after they won the championship.
We had the whole development squad on this.
Reece Vahey, Corbin Rowe, the whole crew.
Jesus, this needs to be sponsored by Bendat.
Fellas, it's time to sign off, but this is the final podcast for the season.
I hate goodbyes.
Quizman, well done on the year. You've been fantastic. It's been good chatting with you throughout. BT, in the box with the drops.
Time to pull up stumps.
There's nothing like introducing BT to people when you say, oh, this is Brett Thomas. They go, sorry, who? And you go, BT in the box
with the drops. And they're like, oh! And of course, right back at you, Tizerman. Did an exceptional job hosting the podcast all season long.
All together.
Thank you, guys.
Made it very easy for both of us.
Thank you to all the players and coaches around the league who were so generous with their time, always
access.
Willing to come.
Unlimited
for a chat. Awesome. Thanks to the entire crew at the NBL for the awesome job they've done putting on the show and getting it out to the people. And thank you to everyone who's been listening. All the people have been getting involved with the hashtag.
Shout out Nick Tan.
Pod. The whole crew, Adam Karutsis and James Samet and all our regulars, but everyone who's been downloading and listening to the show, we really, really appreciate it. We look forward to bringing you something along these lines next season.
With the Bullets.
Hey, the Bullets
extra
back
team.
In. There we
Let's
go. There we go. Enjoy the off season. Enjoy the Olympics. On behalf of BT and the Grizzle Man, we've been talking hardball.